When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Big dummy, you're listening to the Dome Patrol podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast, the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network. I am your host, Jason. Today, Jeff took the day off. He had enough Saints talk since there isn't a ton to talk about. But we are here today. There were some Saints moves, or at least a Saints move, since our last recording. There's also speculation about our best defensive player. We also had the NFL Combine this week, which I did not watch. Guys running in shorts and doing things, although a lot of people did do that. It just seems weird to me. I'm not going to spend my time doing that, but you did have the Combine. Russell Wilson got released, and that looks like cap hell for Denver. So we got a few things to talk about. Free agency is coming up. It'll be here soon. A lot of players getting released, a lot of players out there. So put your seat back, put your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. With me today are James and Wesley. How you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Good, thanks.
Well, I'm not on mute. I think I actually got the intro right. So I am 2 for 2 so far today. Things are looking up.
It can only go one way from here.
Good point. So I guess we'll start. The first thing that happened, the Saints did designate or indicate that Marcus May will be released. Post-June cut really ends kind of a disappointing two-year stretch. He was suspended for a few games. He missed some games last year with injuries. So really just not what they expected. And it really just more proved the point that over the last couple of years, the Saints, you know, regardless of what their cap situation is, I know they restructure everything and they make contracts. They always make it fit. But when you don't make good personnel decisions, you really get kind of hamstrung. And that's really where the issue has been, is that the Saints personnel decisions over the last 2 years, combination free agency and draft, have been really, really bad. And I think that just portends to, at some point, the bottom's going to fall out on the Saints sooner rather than later with an aging team and poor free agent signings. You know, that I don't know how many free agent signings they're actually going to make this year. I know, like you joked last week, we'll sign somebody and we'll pay him 37 cents this first year, which is fine. But do you even have faith that whoever they decide to bring in is going to be any good? Because if you look at all the free agents the past 2 years, I mean, Matthew's been decent. Okay.
I think above average.
May didn't work out. Trevor Penning looks like a bust. Cesar Ruiz is meh. So just on the personnel side, there really needs to be some kind of improvement going forward. So we'll see what they do. But yeah, the May thing, it didn't really work out.
I mean, there are some things that did work out, like Rashid Shaheed worked out, Paulson Adebo worked out, Alante Taylor looks like he's an athletic guy that can work out. Chris Olave worked out. I mean,
but you did have to trade up to get him.
Sure.
But yes, Chris Olave is definitely a home run.
Brian
Brzee
looks like he's going to work out. Interesting that the regardless of Dennis Allen being a head coach, I think that Dennis Allen is generally regarded as a great defensive coordinator that understands defense in the NFL. I think he's one of the top defensive minds. I will say that he played safety in his career, but it's weird that he can't identify safeties real easily. I think May's thing is, I mean, the combination of Injuries, suspensions, but just missing time. I mean, I think he 7 games he played last year, maybe. He's not worth over $7 million. Yeah, he's not worth $7 million to play 11 games or whatever in 2 years or whatever it was. And I mean, Jordan Howden showed something, and I think that they find that safety is probably a position they feel pretty comfortable with, kind of going to the next tier.
Yeah, I mean, on the Marcus May thing, when we signed him, he was coming off an Achilles injury. He'd been arrested for a DUI that offseason.
And facing
as well.
A suspension. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. None of this stuff that happened is surprising. He's injured and was getting suspended. Yeah. Those things, we knew they were going to happen.
Yeah, but we still signed him anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Send me your broken toys. I will fix them.
So yeah, that ends his tenure now, right? Is safety? I mean, I know we've still got Tyran for. He's not going anywhere this year. Got some young guys, but now is that a position that they really need to look for in the draft? I mean, we're going to need another safety. I know there was a report today that we had a meeting with the safety from Iowa, and it's like, well, not at 14. I definitely wouldn't take him at 14, but.
Jamal Adams was cut by the Seahawks this week.
I mean, talk about injuries. You'd be lucky to get 4 games out of him. But hey, it'd be an LSU Tiger.
He's been cut all over the league.
Yeah.
This offseason.
Him and Tyron back there playing together.
Can we sign Daniel Sorensen again? So right. So now that brings up a question of, do they just shift guys around?
I think there needs to be a safety brought in, whether it's free, not a top tier, but whether free agency or the draft, we got to get somebody to compete in there at safety. I've seen a lot of people on X commenting something about if Marshawn Lattimore stays, can Alante Taylor move to safety? No.
Nope.
it's not the same thing. It's defensive back doesn't mean defensive back. It doesn't work that way. He would be one. He'd be underutilized at safety, and he may be terrible at it.
Yeah.
So it's just a very different job. We've had safeties here that couldn't tackle. How did that work out? Okay.
I mean, that's going all the way back to freaking Bucky Jones, man. To Bucky Jones. But with, you know, obviously Nick put out an article about Lattimore and his, you know, his contract, and then somebody mentioned, well, yeah, he's only got a fifth round pick. And I'm like, all right, fuck that. Like, Dennis Allen, your job as a head coach, mend fucking fences. He is too good to trade away for anything. I mean, even a second round pick, it's like, I'd still be disappointed if that's all we got. I just think, man, you have to mend the fence with, he's too good. And I know he's had some availability issues recently, but if you want to win, you need, I'm sorry, you just need him on the roster, especially now with potential need for safety as well.
Well, and I mean,
he's the best player on our roster.
Yes. There is some sort of fiery competitor in Lattimore that's, you know, I guess he's had struggle with a couple of injuries and maybe not being happy with coaches the last couple of years. Like you said, there's got to be some mending fences there. I don't think that anything that happened between DA and Lattimore can possibly be worse than what happened between DA and Jameis Winston in 2022. And Jameis Winston came back in 2023. And Jameis Winston is still right now, even with the way the season ended, in New Orleans doing fundraisers and being a great citizen of New Orleans.
Enjoy Mardi Gras.
That if he even remotely fit in with this offense that we were going to do moving forward, like, he'd stay. But I love Jameis Winston, but I think he's probably a terrible fit to be the backup for this offense. I mean, he's a locker room guy. I think, I mean, that's says something, but there's been so much smoke around Sam Darnold following. I mean, first of all, Sam Darnold said not leave the 49ers. That's a perfect position for him, because Brock Purdy could start sucking at any time. But I don't know. We'll kind of see. There's no way that whatever happened was bigger than what happened between Jameis and DA. And they fixed that midseason and then fixed it again in the offseason. So it can be fixed. And I mean, Lattimore's special, and they need to, I mean, sometimes the coach also can be like, hey, I could have handled this. They can both hopefully fix it.
Hopefully, right. I mean, he's the best cornerback Saints have ever had. And
ever.
You do whatever it takes to keep to mend fences like that. Do you have faith that Dennis Allen can do it? I mean,
this last season got squirrely, but last year when we thought that he should have lost the locker room, he definitely held it together.
Was it
like
him,
last
was it the
2022 last season?
Right.
I mean,
right. I mean, that would be a massive, massive stain. Look, I already don't like the guy, so it's not going to change my opinion of him, but it would be a massive, massive stain if he allows him, if we trade him just because they couldn't figure it out. And you know, he's going to go and play 17 games for whoever he goes to, and he's going to be an all pro, and he's going to be amazing. And that's just kind of the way that, you know, that's my view of the Saints right now. It's like, God,
between the two of them, you only want Lattimore to be the one that stays at the Saints longer than, you know, of the two. You want Lattimore to be the one that is still playing for the Saints in 5 years' time. You don't want Dennis Allen coaching in 5 years' time.
100%. It has nothing to do with the fact that that's the only active Saints jersey that I still own. But I definitely want him to stick around. Definitely want him to stick around. I mean, he has to, man.
We've seen what that secondary looks like without Lattimore, and it's not great.
And look, Adebo's been great. You know, I really love the improvement that Adebo's made, and he's shown he's a quality starting corner. And again, that makes your defense so much better. If you got those two guys on the outside locking it down, like I said, if they want to win this year, they need those two guys.
Well, it's also like easy to forget too, like, but I mean, Marshawn Lattimore is going to turn 28 in the offseason.
It's crazy that he's still that young.
He's still so young for what he's done, and it'd be terrible to I mean, the Saints are notorious for holding on to people too long, and like, this would be bad to get rid of him 4 years too early. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I don't want to complain both ways. And if the Lattimore injuries are, you know, legitimate over the last couple of years, and that is the sign of his decline, of he's just not going to physically be able to keep up with it, then I would be okay with like understand. I would rather get rid of Marshawn Lattimore a year too early than 3 years too late. But it feels like right now is not a year too early.
No,
definitely not.
But the mindset's got to be there. That's a position where him being cocky, we've proven with Lattimore, if he's fired up and there's a good receiver over there, great player. You put him against three B-level receivers and he stops playing football. It's the weirdest thing. Rather than just being like, oh, I mean, this is easy, but I'm going to still allow zero catches today. It started to click for him before the, you know, liver laceration.
Maybe one good thing that'll keep him around is now Mike Evans signed an extension with Tampa, so now he's got his baby for two more games every season. So hey, I mean,
one less place you can trade him. I'd love to trade him if we're gonna trade him. I'd love to trade him to Detroit for number 29. That's a first round pick. I think it's one of the few places that you could for sure get a first. But that puts him in a position where we can, unless we play them, can be happy for him, because Saints fans have kind of been Detroit Lions fans secondary, not me, because I don't pull for their quarterback. But I don't know. So reuniting with Aaron Glenn and Dan Campbell and all that.
Oh, man. God, I don't want to get rid of him, but we'll see. So where do we stand right now with the cap for this year? How many? I know we're still over. Was it 20-something million?
It's less. We've still got a week to,
okay,
to move around some things.
15 million over, I think.
Okay, so who's a candidate? Who haven't we touched that's still a candidate?
Did we didn't do Kamara, right?
We have not done Kamara.
We haven't touched Kamara yet. No, I don't think we've touched Taysom Hill's contract yet either.
Didn't touch Taysom yet. Didn't touch DeMario yet.
Nope.
How many more years?
I think that those are three people that makes a lot of sense to see if they want to take a pay cut to be good teammates and make salaries that make sense with their production, and maybe stay here longer because they're playing for reasonable contracts versus
how many more years does Taysom have?
Like 11. Deal? It's like 11.
I mean,
maybe 12. I don't know.
In real terms, I think it's 2.
Okay. I would say extend him. I mean, he's not. I mean, I know he's older because of his mission and whatnot, but he's not really that beat up considering all that he does.
You mean his mission to score touchdowns?
His
mission to be the greatest football player in the history of the league.
His mission to be Steve Young.
He does not do missionary. Yeah. He's all positions.
He's positionary.
Yeah. I mean, to me, he would be a candidate to actually extend and lower it. You know, that'd be a good way to do it.
He's been so snide the last couple of years. Well, I'm pretty sure he's been so unhappy with the way he's been used that I think he's hoping that he gets out of here young enough to still play and be productive for Sean Payton in Denver.
Well, look, that's why we got a new coordinator coming in. Maybe, hey, this is it. This is
the kind of person that makes sense. Listen, right? Him and Rashid Shaheed like make a lot of sense for this offensive coordinator.
So hey, look, maybe that's it. Maybe Kubiak's already talked to him. He's like, hey man, I am gonna use you. We're gonna weaponize you. And then hey, it's like, all right, I'll do an extension if this guy will be here.
Maybe Kirby we'll Kubiak is the answer.
We'll see if he's here longer than
weaponized
a year.
Weaponized Taysom sounds very, very intriguing.
So all right, well, there'll still be some moves coming. I mean, I know they'll figure it out. I mean.
We haven't actually announced who the second post June 1st cut's going to be, have we? Obviously, Marcus May is going to be one.
No, he's not.
I thought he was.
So the post June 1st cuts, right now, the way they sit, they have to be Michael Thomas and Jameis Winston.
If
we work out an extension with either one of them, which I don't know if. I mean, I don't think Michael Thomas is coming back, but I don't think the Jameis one is just crazy. But if we work out an extension with Jameis, then Marcus May will become a June 1st cut.
Now,
as of now, the Jameis savings are bigger than the Marcus May savings.
Now, you know, he's still in an age, like, I know he wants to still try to find a place where he could be a starting quarterback. I don't know that market's out there.
The free agent quarterback market is insane this year. For his level of kind of quarterback. And I'm just talking about beyond, I mean, you've got just Jacoby Brissett, Kirk Cousins, Joe Flacco, Ryan Tannehill, Tyrod Taylor, Byron Hoyer, Blaine Gabbert. I mean, I think Andy Dalton is one. Nick Foles, What's his name?
He's a free agent.
There's like this pretty crazy amount of just Baker's supposed to say Gardner Minshew is out there again. There's just a whole bunch of guys like right in that same
backup starter, but you don't feel good about him as a starter.
Right. And it's just, there's so many of them that a couple of those guys are going to be free. They're going to sign minimum free agent deals. They're just going to, like, there's only so many of those jobs. And some teams have a young guy that's like, well, if the season goes to shit and our starter's gone, we're starting the young guy, not the 34-year-old guy. I mean, it's, I don't know.
Plus all the potential draft picks in this year's draft, you know.
This is like, I mean, I don't know about quarterback heavy year, but there's a lot of quarterbacks that are going to be in the NFL to see if they. Oh, I didn't mention Russell Wilson's out there now too. I think Tyler Huntley and Josh Dobbs. Carson Wentz. That's who I was trying to think of.
Okay.
And I mentioned Sam Darnold earlier, but like all those guys are Jameis Winston. And there's no locker room that knows Jameis Winston and would appreciate him more. And there is no team salary cap that benefits more from signing Jameis Winston than us. I mean, it actually helps us in multiple ways because it helps us with the Jameis Winston savings, and then it helps us with the Marcus May savings. So you kind of double dip. The question is Jameis Winston a really the fit for if Derek Carr goes down for this new system that we're going to have? Maybe not. I don't know if any of those other guys are either. They all kind of probably.
I'd like to keep him around just because, I mean, he definitely likes New Orleans. He's good for the locker room. Like, I'd
love to have him. Like, listen, if Russell Wilson just decides to be a jackass and sign a minimum deal, I'd take Russell Wilson over Jameis Winston. Russell Wilson's not coming here to back up Derek Carr.
Sure. No, Russell Wilson.
So I'm just like, so that's the one that I'm like, okay, that would kind of make fun. Besides that. And again, I think Sam Darnold's still only 26 years old, which is insane.
Yeah, but he's also not good.
Right, but he spent those years with the Jets.
I know he was.
Is anybody good when they play for the Jets ever as a quarterback? So besides Vinny Testaverde, I don't know. So like, if I'm Sam Darnold, though, I'm staying with the 49ers. Like,
oh sure,
please. I mean that's a no brainer. So I mean, there's a route to Jameis coming back and saving the Marcus May. I know that kind of went a long way for the June 1st cuts, but it should be. It'd be great to re-sign Jameis and Michael Thomas and Marcus May to be the June 1st cuts. That's the best way that those three together can help the cap.
Okay. All right. Well, it's going to have to happen soon. We're going to find out soon. Man, speaking of Russell Wilson, what a disaster that was for Denver. And I mean, Peyton kind of inherited it, but like when you look at what Denver gave up for him and then to sign him to this deal and they gave him an extension 2 years ago.
Huge extension.
It's like, what the hell were you
doing? I think Sean Payton loves it. This buys him, doesn't matter how bad the team is, he's got three more years there. No matter what. Like, I know he's got guaranteed money and blah, blah, blah. Like, this, they cannot move. You're committing to the Sean Payton rebuild. And I mean, this is like, I think he's purposely just going to take as much time as he can with it. Like, they can't trade up to get a quarterback. So they're going to mid draft somebody, and they can't sign a free agent that's a good one. So, I mean, it's they can't fix it this year. The $80 million has to be divided over these next two seasons.
Yeah.
I think you take as big a cap hit as you can this year. You're still like, oh, we're taking that hit for the Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. So next year sucks too. And then he's like, oh, well, 2026 is the first year I can bring in my quarterback. And then I need 3 years to develop that quarterback. Like, this just like extended Peyton for 5 years in Denver.
Well, then even if he, you know, if they decide to stealth tank next year and can get a top five pick, grab that quarterback, and then still have 1 year of the dead money, it's like, oh yeah, it's our rebuilding process.
You know? It's just, I mean, and I think Peyton's smart enough to do that.
It is kind of amazing. Then, like, somebody,
you know what? 2 years when Russell Wilson off the books, Taysom Hill's a free agent.
Not if we extend him like I want to do.
He gets the big deal from Denver.
Oh, man.
I mean, do you remember all the rumors, though, when Peyton was here that he really wanted Russell Wilson, and if he ever got to free agency, he was going to make a real run for him? Mm-hmm. You know, there were big stories.
I think that started because Russell Wilson, he said the Saints were one of the three teams he wanted to play for. He said New Orleans, Washington, and they say Philadelphia or Giants or something. He said three teams, and which I know the New Orleans is one of them. I think that started that because, I mean, him and Breeze were kind of buddy-buddy.
Well, you also had LaToya do that video for him. Like, she wanted him, but she's the worst mayor in history. So look, look at that.
So where does he go then? Is he any good anymore?
I mean, his stats last year weren't bad. I mean, he's not the Russell Wilson that everybody associates him being. He doesn't run a lot anymore. He's not the same guy, but he's still competent enough.
So two places that I thought made sense. We've heard this last week, and I don't believe anything, but we've heard that the Patriots they're going to give Mac Jones another shot, which I don't believe that. No. And then we've heard in the last couple of days that the Steelers are going to give Kenny Pickett another shot. I think him in Pittsburgh makes so much sense at his age and where they are and all that kind of stuff. And I think that like Pittsburgh fans would get behind it because it's also like Pittsburgh fans are kind of, if they're not going to actually be good, they are getting sick of Mike Tomlin a little bit. Which
Which
I think
is
is just
crazy.
hilarious because
Yeah, it's
he hasn't had a losing season in 17 years. And I hear Pittsburgh fans are getting irritated by that stat because it hasn't resulted in a Super Bowl. And I'm just like, shut up. Like, they just don't know what it's
yeah.
like to be bad. But, I don't think Tennessee or anything's going to go in. I don't think the Raiders have it in them to make it happen. I don't know. There's a few kind of weird places. I mean, Minnesota might lose Kirk Cousins. That looks like a real
I
possibility.
mean, I guess
I don't see
Atlanta's still there.
Atlanta going for him. I think they'll go a different way, which we should probably talk about.
I mean, Atlanta is definitely going to go somebody, whether I know there's rumors that Kirk Cousins, is eyeing Atlanta, or if they don't, them trading up to get a guy like Daniels or something, which, God, it'd be annoying, but it'd be, right on cue with all the times all the LSU guys are going to the NFC South, but not the Saints. I would hate having to cheer against them. That would suck. So I'm kind of hoping Atlanta goes for Russell, or I mean, even signing. I don't know. I mean, Cousins coming off the Achilles, he's gonna be ready by the start of the season. I mean, he's
What
never.
about Russell Wilson going to the Jets to back up Rodgers, believing that there's no way Rodgers stays healthy for a 17-game season?
It is New
That's a
York,
hell of a quarterback room.
And
he's already got. I mean, he's already he's getting paid. I mean, he's already getting paid regardless of what happens. So
yeah.
basically.
I mean, he should sign a veteran minimum deal wherever he goes.
Yeah, good point.
He's not going to help Denver by offsetting any money. So
No, he's
interesting.
not.
That'll, I mean, there's, but well, there's quite a few quarterbacks that are going to move around that aren't necessarily top tier guys. But I mean, Kirk Cousins is going to start somewhere. Rumor is he's asking for a 2-year, $90 million deal or more.
Jesus. Off an Achilles? Fuck no. But he also was the guy that got. They did all those short-term, all fully guaranteed deals. It kind of worked out for him.
Yep.
I know there was rumors that, or some of the DC people are like, "Hey, what if he comes back to DC?"
They're not a
They're
long
good.
way from being competitive.
So,
So
yeah, that.
we brought up Atlanta, but I mean, what are they doing at quarterback? It sounds like there's three major options for them.
They're definitely doing something. They're not going to run it back with Ritter. There's zero chance of that. I don't want to see them.
Trade for Fields.
Oh yeah, there's still Fields out there
There's
too.
it's the rumors that we keep hearing. I mean, and I think they're definitely moving. It's they're either trading for Fields, they're signing Cousins, or they're trading up for probably what would be Jaden Daniels, because I don't think they can get one of the top two quarterbacks. So the furthest they could trade up would be to get the third best quarterback or the third quarterback drafted.
I
There's
mean, if
multiple sides of all that. Like,
so,
so
what is
you as a I kind of want both sides. I want you as a Saints fan, out of those three, who do you want them to have? And but if you were just being smart as a football person trying to build a competitive, which one scares you the most too? Which one you're like, oh God, please.
I mean, I'd rather them. I mean, if they trade, I mean, Fields isn't going to get a first round pick, is he?
Probably
Right?
not. No,
Or at least not, at least not this year.
it's
Like
looking like
maybe it'll
second.
be, yeah,
It's
maybe it'll be
looking like a
tied.
second.
Tied to playing time or whatever, so they would be smart to trade for Fields, keep their eighth overall pick this year, and use that to get draft something. Now that's what the smart person would do.
I mean, you could also, I mean, sign Cousins and take nothing. They have plenty of cap room now. So you could sign Cousins and not lose any draft picks.
That's true. You're just dealing with the injury risk after a popped Achilles.
As a Saints fan, that's the one I want them. That's the route I want them to go down.
Take
Take the
Cousins.
older quarterback,
Yeah.
Cousins.
Yeah,
Older
I want
quarterback
that
coming
way
off an
they're
injury for a lot of money.
right back in quarterback hell a few years later.
Especially if
Yeah.
Cousins is asking for 2 years, 90 million. Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want them. I don't want them getting a young quarterback that could be good. Could be good. Justin Fields would give us fits because running quarterbacks do give us fits.
I think Justin Fields makes them a 500 team, but they beat us every game for the next 6 years. I mean, I just like that's just a nightmare for us. Him and what's their young Bijan?
Bijan
Yeah.
Robinson.
I mean, the two of them together, like they run for 300 yards a game against the Saints. I love Jaden Daniels and what he did for LSU. If they had to pay a whole lot to trade up to get him, Like, I'd hate seeing Jaden Daniels from LSU in an Atlanta uniform and all that. I also do not think Jaden Daniels should be a number three overall pick in an NFL draft. He's athletic, he's accurate, but his pocket presence and reading of defenses is quite slow, which at the NFL is a whole different level. I'd much rather have somebody that, like, if I was drafting a quarterback, like, oh, we got to work on a little bit of arm slot and we got to work on a little bit of footwork, but he reads the defense, he knows what to do, versus the other way, because the game's going to speed up so much more than it was in college. Jaden Daniels could struggle to adjust to the next level, because that's his thing. He's slow to process that and doesn't really put the ball over the middle. I think he'll be fine as an athletic guy and stuff like that, but he also likes to take those big hits, and he survived them in college. Can you survive them when that person's 7 years older and weighs 38 more pounds? I don't know.
Mean, that is the one thing.
It's a different hit.
It's a lot harder.
It's a whole different hit. It's a
very different hit.
Right. He does run upright. He doesn't slide really well, and that's something he's going to have to learn.
So, I mean, like, I don't want Jaden Daniels to go there because I don't want to extend this conversation. But if we're just talking about the talent and the development side, I would like my enemy team trading up a whole lot of value to draft a guy number three that can't read defenses so good.
Jaden Daniels and Bryce Young in the same division.
I want him to sign Kirk Cousins.
I definitely want him to sign the older guy and not go younger.
I'm just setting it up that if they trade up and draft Jaden Daniels, I'm going to find some way to not be sad about it by telling everybody that he sucks and everybody getting mad at me. But I mean, I loved him as a college quarterback. He was one of the best college seasons ever.
It's going to be a fun live draft show.
And Atlanta trades up and takes an LSU player.
Oh my God.
I mean, speaking of LSU players, I mean, it's been expected that three LSU guys are being drafted in the first round with Malik Nabers, Jaden Daniels, and Brian Thomas Jr. But Brian Thomas Jr. has been thought of as very end of the first round, you know, mid 20s kind of thing. It's not going to like shock me if he goes to be a top 10 pick, but he's a top 15 pick now, because at the combine, this dude weighed, he's measured 6'3", 209 and ran a 4.34, and then reached the highest miles per hour on the gauntlet drill that they do of any receiver. And that's like, those are like the exact things, that size and that speed just makes everybody wet their pants.
Yeah. But, you know, there's no, I know he ran that blazing 40 time, but, you know, it showed a list of, oh, here's the fastest 40 times.
That was
NFL
so funny.
In history. And it's like, I think there's like two good NFL players on it.
Well, I think when they're one Pro Bowler or something like that, one Hall of Famer,
Chris
one Hall of Famer.
I don't know that he was a Hall of Famer, but at least Chris Johnson was like, okay, at least everybody else was like, oh yeah, I remember that guy flamed out. Yeah. Nothing ever happened. So
it is funny, but people are still losing their mind.
Yeah.
Over it.
I mean, it's all, and that's kind of what, like the combine is always, so it's like, okay, yeah, this guy's running in shorts. Yeah. He's got this ability, whatever. I'm like, what does he do when somebody's in his face? What does he do when he's got to juke a guy, when he's got to do the hand thing? It's like, I want to see game film. I want to see how he did against competition. Yeah. The numbers are great, but it's just, I think everybody just overreacts to this kind of shit.
I mean,
that's why, like, I was never a guy to watch the comp. Like when the combine's on for 6 hours on a weekend, could you catch me watching that kind of like a mock draft.
So I used to be like that. I think that over the years I've gotten more and more, especially with players moving around so much. And I agree with the tape. Like I want tape of you playing football, like against other people. But now it's like, they're generally playing against other guys who barely should be in college and definitely shouldn't be in the NFL. The highlight tape is generally against guys who aren't even invited to the combine. So there's 200 freaking teams that you're playing against, and it's just so watered down. So I mean, I get both sides. Like, I want to see it with somebody trying to hit you or tackle you, but at the same time, when that guy is way slower and weighs 80 pounds less than you, like, hey, Adam Trautman has a great, great, tape from what he did at his small college, and it's way better than anything he's ever done in the NFL.
Yes. So if he's there at 14,
I'm on both sides.
Yeah. No, so if Brian Thomas is there at 14, I know the Saints don't draft LSU players, but if he's there at 14, would you consider him?
I would definitely consider him.
I mean, that kind of size and that guy. Listen, I think we need stuff on the defensive side. I think we need offensive and defensive linemen. We need all that. But drafting Brian Thomas Jr. this year and having the young Chris Olave, Brian Thomas Jr., and Rashid Shaheed, you're done. You got wide receiver figured out. Like, just get some other guys that can block and catch. Like, done for years of figuring those out. And wide receivers are making old. Mike Thomas is Mike Evans just signed a 2-year, $52 million deal. I mean, yeah, like, bring. Maybe
I would be pretty damn excited if we drafted him and you got those three and then A.T. Perry as your fourth. It's like, okay,
yeah,
I can be excited about that.
Well, and then I believe we can take somebody with Brian Thomas's measurables and tape. He scored more touchdowns than anybody in Division I football last year, including Malik Nabers. I think we can take somebody with that and make him a viable NFL player. I still don't know, like, even. Listen, I right now want Dallas Turner to be drafted by the Saints at 14. Oof. Oh, my God, what he put on. I also sit here and tell you, I have no idea if that guy is going to learn how to play NFL football in the next 2 years. No idea. He may someday be good, but him being good next year, like, I think it's a fit. These defensive linemen and offensive linemen, who knows?
We also don't have a good track record of drafting.
We don't have a good track record at all.
We don't. We don't.
But right now, like, if where I'm at is if somehow four quarterbacks go in the top 13 and Dallas Turner's there at 14, I don't care who else is there. Like, that's my all. And I'm saying that believing that I have no idea if he'll be able to play as a rookie. Like, he may be Isaiah Foskey as a rookie. But that would be right now. Like, that's my pounding the table. I'll mock draft him every single time he's there. Even if Jaden Daniels falls, I'm taking Dallas Turner. Like, I mean, that's what he did at the combine is insane for a guy his size.
It is going to be one interesting thing because I do think there's going to be a really good player that's going to be there at 14. And if the Saints stay there, we're going to be really excited until they call the name and we're like, who the fuck? We're all going to be ready to draft. Holy shit, we got Brian Thomas is there. Like, everybody that we just talked about is going to be there, and they're going to take somebody else. And I'm going to fall out of my chair.
You guys been following that defensive end from Central Florida? He's 6'7", 263. Also, Brian Thomas, we're just bringing this to the house, scored a 10 on his RAS.
Oh, my. Oh, well, that's
a
it.
10.
That's it. He's number one on the Saints board.
10 RAS score.
He's number one on the Saints board. Oh,
insane.
At least I could get behind that. I could get excited.
I mean, I get it. You see those things, and there's all those things about the people running fast forwards. But I would have liked to have seen how many of those guys were taller than 6'2". And there's not very many of them. Or how many of them are over 6'2" and over 200 pounds. That just isn't a thing that exists at 4.34. Like, it's crazy.
Well, that's it. You had, what's his name? The guy from Texas ran a 4.2.
4.22.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So he may sneak into the first round. But
yeah,
like,
I mean, I don't want him at all.
That is a Raiders pick. 100%. That's a Raiders pick.
There's also a thing that right now you can't tell me that wide receivers coming out of LSU can't play in the NFL. I mean, and we've got the same guy that coached him, Coach Jordan Jefferson. And I mean, there's something going on there. So that's another thing that I just think you have to factor in that position coming from that school right now. Like, he's probably going to be special.
Yep.
It's going to be great when we don't draft him and all the LSU fans get pissed off because you know it's coming.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be pissed off too.
Yeah. Oh, offensive tackle from Canada coming up in the first round.
From Canada.
Well, he's only been in Canada for 3 years. He was born in Nigeria.
Yeah.
He's still growing into his frame. But we'll bring him down here and feed him in our new kitchen, and we'll get him up to playing weight.
Yeah, I do miss.
Yeah, no, please no first round project. Please, like,
no. Just pick a good player.
Like,
is there any chance? Any chance?
I wish
trade down.
Don't ask the question.
I mean, look, I know realistically, no, but.
If there's ever a time where you're just like, it makes so much sense, is with this roster this year. And maybe it was a Peyton thing where we didn't trade down. Having said that, Mickey Loomis has defended it and said, when you see your guy, you'll get him.
He's going to smack that gum and be like, fuck, you're trading down. We're trading up.
Hey, man, you know what? Draft with our current draft, draft three guys that can start. And okay, cool. Don't trade up. Don't trade down. I mean, got it.
Yeah, but looking at our past drafts. It's
but I don't believe that. I don't believe that's going to happen. I mean, and we have so many positions of need, or, and by even position of need, I don't even necessarily mean a starter, but a backup that can start next year or the year after, because we're so thin, like with,
right.
Like it truly is a, and I'd love to have three picks in the top 75 and just draft the three best players that are available there, and they can play anywhere. I mean, it's, we just need people.
Well, do you so, you know, I know we talked about the salary cap earlier. I mean, do we expect any decent, I mean, I know there's going to be some free agent signings. I don't think there's going to be a big splash signing, but there are a lot of guys getting released. I mean, how do you think they're going to be in free agency? I mean, I don't know.
I think tight. The first wave is going to go through like normal.
I don't think we're getting any initial.
But I think we sign one of like the better guards. I could see us signing one of the better guards, or like the second tier older defensive ends. Just somebody that can get after the quarterback for the next year or two. Or I really like, there's a Rams guard, Dotson. Is that his name? I'm making that up. Kevin Dotson. I really like him. He kind of came out of nowhere and played pretty well. I'd like to have somebody like him. All the big defensive ends are going to be so expensive. So you're really having to hit that second level. Za'Darius Smith would be like a defensive end that he's old as crap, I think. But maybe you get him and he comes in and gets eight sacks.
The big defensive tackle from Miami, isn't they said, yeah, you know, I mean,
Christian Wilkins.
Christian Wilkins. Yeah. Wait. I mean, we're not getting into that $18 to $20 million guy. We're needing those guys that, couple of the $8 to $10 million guys, maybe.
It's gonna be funny though. We say that, and then like we sign somebody to some absurd thing.
I mean, we said all this before, and they signed Derek Carr. So like, I mean, they cleared the money to sign Deshaun Watson if they were able to trade for him. Like I mean, the team can.
I'd like a little bit of restraint.
Never forget Jerry's Bird. Never forget Jerry's Bird. Ugh.
You still have your Kobe Fleener jersey, James?
Kobe Fleener jersey, yeah, it's in the cupboard upstairs, yeah. The Great White Hope.
There'll be some random sign in that they pull out of nowhere, and we're like, what? How?
For sure. And I mean, and then the national media will tell it, like, where did that money come from? The right. Saints are going back into cap hell, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I mean,
Saints
I expect
never left it.
This team is making these coaching changes in order to be competitive this next year. The team is built that way. And again, as much as I wish there was other changes being made with our division, it makes sense. Like, I mean, Baker really Mayfield just had the best season of his career. He's not going to have it again, probably. The Buccaneers are all, their defense is a year older. And I mean, right now Atlanta doesn't have a quarterback. We believe there's going to make a change, and Carolina is going to be the worst team in the NFL again.
Yeah, Carolina's.
I mean, like, I don't see how they climb out of that.
Really, the biggest thing is going to be Atlanta with whatever quarterback they get. Because if they get a decent quarterback, then I mean, look, our defense is going to be a year older too. So, but I mean, I guess I get them going for it. But this is almost like going to be the last hurrah before at some point the bottom is going to drop out, and the Saints are really going to be, all their bad personnel decisions, all these restructures, is going to hit them at some point. It may not be this year, but it's coming.
Or we're going to have a good draft and sign a few good people to some good deals. And
I mean, we haven't had a draft in 7 years.
Seven years
since a good draft.
I don't disagree with what you're saying, but I will also say that we've been saying that pretty much every year, and they're still, I mean, they're staying as a 500 team.
Well, I mean, that's only because our division is so bad. If we were in a normal division, we'd have gone
that's the,
five and
but we're not trading division. I mean, we're going to stay in that division.
Right, but at some point, one of these teams is going to get younger and better. Now, Carolina,
you
maybe
think
not.
That.
Carolina's fucked.
You think that? No, Carolina's not getting better for a while.
No, Carolina's not getting better anytime soon, so I'm not worried about them. And their ownership is bleh. But I don't know. Atlanta and Tampa, I just think at some point, like, you can't expect this division to be.
Until Atlanta nails this quarterback thing, I'm going to continue to think they're going to screw it up. And, like, as excited as people get about some Justin Fields stuff, like, he also does some really, really bad quarterback things and could end up being, like, a terrible quarterback. I think that he'll run the ball and be okay with some stuff. But, I mean, so it's – I'd much rather them sign Kirk Cousins because I think that that's controllable. And plus, they just were right back in this problem in a year or two.
Yeah. Yep. They may be good for a year or two, and then Kirk Cousins gets hurt again. Well, I mean, that's probably. I'm trying to think of the. Oh, I don't know if I was going to save this final thought. Maybe I will. But, I mean, we're kind of out on. One thing I do want to with the draft. Sorry, I know I'm kind of bouncing around here a little bit, but
you didn't take your Ritalin today.
No, I would not be disappointed if the Saints used one of their draft picks to draft Michael Pratt out of Tulane.
Yeah,
you know, take a guy you can kind of actually groom to. You know, there's no immediate pressure. I think the kid can throw. And I know he played for a small.
Are you
school.
Giving up on Jake Haener?
Well, I mean, make him fight. Make him fight over it.
I mean, he risked his health with those steroids to get into NFL shape. He's now back and he's ready to go.
Well, now you just made me realize the Saints are probably so in love with Jake Haener they're not gonna draft another quarterback. So fuck.
I think we should definitely draft the quarterback somewhere. And well, I mean, with on our six picks that we hopefully end up with after the comp picks are done.
Yeah, that would be my choice, and if Jameis leaves, then you got those two guys dueling for the backup.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about two fifth round picks battling for the third string quarterback and one of them being cut. Sorry,
it's wild because I know there was a time where like, oh yeah, Pratt will be a second round pick, but now it's like, oh, he'll be a day three pick. It's like,
yep.
You know, I think he could be a guy that could wow some people and actually produce. I'd be all in for it. So all right, well, that's out of the way with the Saints. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I saw Dune 2, and it was incredible. Just the way it's shot, the way it's put together, like it is a like just insane story. I see where people are coming from of like calling it the Empire Strikes Back of this kind of story, just the way that was put in like as an epic. The absolutely insane all-star cast. I mean, there's the penultimate fight at the end where it's just surrounded by 10 like huge movie stars that can carry a movie by themselves, that 10 of them are standing around watching a fight.
So it's like Endgame.
I mean seriously, there's like some of that to it with how it's just crazy. I also I made sure I had extra butter on my popcorn. I fisted my popcorn bucket.
Yeah, you did.
I got a refill, and then I extra buttered it. But
I did get Renee to watch part one this past weekend, so we can go watch it and watch part two in theaters. It does seem like it's definitely something you want to see in theaters, because I didn't see part one in theaters. I know it came out during the pandemic. Didn't see part one in theaters.
Yeah.
You know, watch it at home, but glad we watched. I am planning to go see it at some point.
As much as, I mean, I wish you would have seen part one in theaters. See part two in theaters. See it in IMAX if you can. But I mean, just see it on a big screen for sure. It's a long movie, but it's good. They did a great job with it. Yeah.
James, anything?
No, nothing for me.
All right.
Don't want to talk about Man U or anything.
I'll go.
You can talk about them once they win a game.
Yeah, that might be a while.
So this past week, Chris Mortensen passed away. And to me, I know especially a lot of people my age, like he was the first insider type guy that ESPN had brought on during the NFL season. It's the first time you would hear somebody talk about, oh, well, according, you know, like I'm hearing this and I'm hearing this and according to that. And just, I always associate him with like the one of the first reporters, guys like that, that really, you know, helped push the NFL to where it is and got me excited about the NFL. And I just remember when they would bring him on, and he kind of started the trend of the inside NFL reporter type guy. And I saw he did make the NFL Hall of Fame on the reporting side, but he was just incredible. It's sad to lose him. I mean, I think he was 72. But just an all-time legend in the NFL, and helped get the, you know, make it as popular as it is, and just really started that whole profession, really, of the insider type guy, especially on TV.
He's also one of those guys that I don't know, like Chris Berman's like fun, but he got annoying at sometimes, and like Rich Eisen's fun, but gets like, he's one of those guys that I don't think ever like wore out his welcome with anybody. Like, you, I mean, it never was like, oh God, here's this guy about to say. He didn't try to get like making crazy opinions and, you know, blaming people for their domestic abuses, or they're talking about people's sexuality, or he didn't try to get into like the, wow, you know, Stephen A. Smith, like what kind of, you know, social media impact. He just reported news and was like a good person about it and told it exactly the way it was. And seems like, I mean, just everybody like was talking about like the way he sent meaningful text messages to all kinds of people and made phone calls. Just seems like a great, caring person, and was actually in real life the way that he came across on TV, which is just a good dude there doing his job.
Yeah, it's sad we lost him, and we lost John Clayton too. I mean, both those guys just fantastic at it.
John Clayton may have been the best ever at just making fun of himself and just like being okay. It was some of the ESPN commercials he did were crazy.
It's great. But, so yeah, big shout out to Mort. So, and with that, that's all the show we have for you this week. We want to thank you for downloading and listening each week. Telling your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can like or subscribe us. We are on Twitter, because I don't call it X. Dome Patrol PCast. Okay, we're on Facebook. I don't know if we don't post anything on Facebook, but with the draft coming up next month, we are going to have our live stream draft, so that's always fun. And in the meantime, say bye-bye. Bye-bye, Morton.
The Dome Patrol podcast is the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network.